So then he, so that's what Virat did. They let him free. They could have killed him, you know. That's a grievous crime, cattle wrestling. I think back in the old days, they'd shoot him with a gun, right?
There were like three Trigartas, or were a number of, do you know how many?
Trigarta, there was the, there's just the one king, and Krishna, I can't remember his name, you know, but
I wish I did. They were the enemies of Arjuna, though.
Yeah,
right?
What happened was they took a vow on the, I believe it was the 11th day of the battle. On the evening of the 11th day of the battle and before the 12th day, Arjuna had fought with the Trigartas and defeated them severely, and they took a vow that they would challenge him to fight. And by challenging Arjuna, the plan with that was that they would take him away from Yudhisthira, so Yudhisthira would be theoretically undefended. Because basically, yeah, they wanted to kidnap. After Bhishma had been fallen off his chariot, because they didn't really kill him, you know, he was just lying there. After he had fallen off the chariot, the new plan, or the plan that Duryodhana suggested or asked Dronacharya to complete, was that they would capture Yudhisthira and force him to play dice once more and send him away. They actually didn't really want to kill Yudhisthira. I don't know about Bhima and Arjuna, but they didn't really want to kill Yudhisthira. They just wanted to capture him. And that's why, that's one reason why they call him a Jatashatru, without an enemy, because they actually didn't really want to kill him.
I'll tell you why, too, because they would have just enraged Bhima and Arjuna more.
Right.
He was more valuable to them alive. Yudhisthira was more valuable.
Right, because you don't want to get... Yeah. Well, there was many times on the Battle of Kurukshetra when Krishna declared that if Arjuna was to be killed, that he would personally eradicate the entire Kuru army. He told that to the Pandavas. He said, don't worry about that, actually, but if such a thing was to happen, I would certainly destroy the entire Kuru army myself. So, you know, Krishna does love his devotees. I don't really think Arjuna would have been hurt. There's actually one lovely scene at the beginning of the 14th day of the battle in which Arjuna had taken a vow to kill Jayadratha. And he was on the other side of a field. It was 60 miles of soldiers between him and Jayadratha. Various different kinds of vyuhas. They had one huge mass in the front. Then they made a chakra vyuha. And then in the middle of that, they made a one that was shaped like an arrow, and at the end of it, it was shaped like a triangle. In the middle of the chakra vyuha, they put one that was the shape of a triangle. And then at the end of that triangle, there was Jarasandha, Jayadratha. And the distance was so many yojanas between Arjuna and that position, which is, you know, miles and miles and miles. I believe it was 60 miles wide, or and however many 40 miles deep of soldiers. Now, you know, the Kurukshetra is actually a pretty big place. So, anyway, they built this, you know, made this huge formation. And you can imagine how many soldiers there was. You know, Prabhupada said there was 660 million, which, I mean, if you're going to have an army that's however many miles wide and long, it's got to be like that many soldiers. So, you know, and these soldiers are banging on drums and banging cymbals and yelling and screaming. And Krishna looks at Arjuna and he says, you think you can do it? He says, that's a big task that you put up for yourself. And Krishna, Arjuna, he don't skip a beat. He looks down at Krishna and he says, well, Krishna, if you, I got you with me, then I should be able to do anything.
But now we're not at the Virat.
Yeah, no, I'm just giving an example there about Krishna and Arjuna. I guess I got carried away by that one, but sorry about that. I get carried away by Krishna a little bit sometimes there. Battle, let's get back to the... So Virat had freed them, and Virat was freed. They beat the other guys was gone. all the soldiers there, and as custom, they decided to fast. I mean, they decided to make camp on the battlefield.
What? Make what?
Made a camp there on the battlefield. They were all gone. So then, lo and behold, the Kurus sneak into the other side. So the cowherd boys there, the cowherds are out there, and they run back and they say, the Kurus are here and they're trying to steal our cows away. So then the only person that's in the palace there is Bhumanjaya, who is the son of Virat, the youngest son. His other name is also Uttara. There was two Uttaras. There's Uttara the daughter and Uttara the son. So to make a distinction, I usually just like to call him Bhumanjaya because, you know, it's different than Uttara. Which Uttara? So Uttara is there, and I mean, Bhumanjaya says, I am a Kshatriya, and I would fight with all of them single-handedly because I come from such a great lineage. And all, you know, he was stuck in the palace with so many girls, so he was trying to, you know, show off. He's saying, I am such a great Kshatriya, and I will fight with all of them single-handedly, but alas, I have no chariot driver to take me forth. So Draupadi saw this, and she knew what he was doing. All the girls were kind of laughing and stuff, but Draupadi, she didn't like this talk. She's like, you know, this kid's too arrogant. So she went to Arjuna, and she said, you know, this boy, Bhumanjaya, he's talking all this talk, so I'm going to fix this. You come with me. So she took Arjuna, and she said to Bhumanjaya, she said, look, this Brihadnala, he actually is an excellent chariot driver. And Bhumanjaya, look, he said, the eunuch? He said, yeah. She says, yeah, I know personally. He used to drive Arjuna's chariot sometimes for him. Oh, really? She said, yeah. Oh, I cannot take a eunuch. She said, no, he's excellent. She said, are you not a great hero? Here is what you were asking for, a chariot driver. Will you not take it? Are you a coward? So because, you know, he talked so much talk, then he had to do it. So Arjuna came forth, but he pretended that he didn't know how to put on armor. And he was putting it on, he's taking the thing, he's putting it on backwards, and then Bhumanjaya's like, no. So then he put on some kind of armor. The chariot drivers, they had some armor. They didn't have as much as the full-blown Kshatriyas, but they're important, so they would have some armor. They gave him, it's called kavachas, which means shields or armlets or different kinds of things. Like they must have, their arms must have been protected because, you know, you're ricking the reins and you got to, you know, that's important. So he had, he put on some armor and then they went out there to, he drove the chariot. And so Bhumanjaya sees, you know, they go around over the hill and then they look and then, whoa, it's the Kuru army. And Bhumanjaya says, who are these people? And Arjuna says, there is Bhishma, who can only die of his own wish. There is Dronacharya, the master of astras. Even the gods are scared of him. And, you know, there's Kripacharya, you know. He only wears a tiger skin. A bloody tiger skin is his armor. And lo, there's Duryodhan, you know, his chest as hard as iron. And there's his 100 brothers. And there's, you know, Ashwatthama, who's very cruel and wicked and has no, you know, knows all kinds of arcane secrets and black tantra. And he's going over this whole, you know, it's the list of who's who of the bad mamma jammas, you know, of the world. And they're all right there. So Bhumanjaya, he starts to shake. And he says, I see inauspicious omens. We should go back. Arjuna says, what? He says, we cannot go back. So Bhumanjaya says, he throws down his bow. And the Kurus look and see one lone chariot. And they're like, wow, what brave person is this? So then they see Bhumanjaya. And he throws his bow down. And he gets out of the chariot. And Arjuna, you know, he's just wearing some light armor, and he's got a braid of hair and some frilly cloth tied it in it. And oh, look, there's a eunuch. There's a she-male. They have those in India quite a bit, actually. You see them on every street corner, clapping their hands. Apparently they say it pleases Devi to give them charity. I don't really know, but... So, you know, they're like, what is this? He's got a she-male for his chariot driver. And then he starts to run away, you know. So then Arjuna, he picks him up and he throws him over his shoulders. So all the soldiers there, they start to laugh. And the whole ocean of soldiers starts to roar from the laughter. Everyone's laughing. And then he throws him back into the chariot, but in the chariot driver position. And then Arjuna, he gets in the back. And he says, there's a Sami tree over here. And you should go over there because there's weapons that I need. He said, your bow is like a toy, and if I pull it too hard, it'll break. So they go over to this Sami tree. Some must be some variety. So they hung their weapons in the tree to make it look like a corpse. So Arjuna said, go up there and get the tree. Get the bundle. And he says, it looks like it's a dead body. He says, no, no, that's just some weapons. So Bhumanjai climbs up the tree and he starts bringing them down. And he unwraps them. And one has swords. And there's all just different kinds of swords in it. And one sword is 30 finger widths wide. That one, he said, whose sword is this? He said, who can wield this sword? And he said, that's Bhima's sword. And then one sword, it has a frog carved in it. And he said, whose sword is that? He said, that's Nakula's sword. And they have different swords. Then they open one thing and there's bows. And Arjuna takes his sword. Then they open another, there's bows in it. And there's all kinds of, there's a bow, there's a Gandiva bow. And that bow has all different kinds of gems in it. So it looks like a rainbow. And it glows too. So the power of this bow, Gandiva, Arjuna, and he strings the bow. And he just does one little twang on it, like strumming a guitar. Boom. And when he does that, boom, all the the whole earth starts to shake. Just from one twang and little twang on his bow, the whole earth started to shake. That's the power of the Gandiva. He says, which bow is this? He says, this is Gandiva bow. He says, I'm Arjuna. He says, so then tell me the 10 names of Arjuna. So then he tells him the 10 names of Arjuna. One of them is Bibatsu, of course, and Jaya, and Krishna, and Falgun, and Kirtan. And I think the last time we tried to get them all,
We still don't know him. I never was able to memorize it.
Yeah, Svetavahana.
Svetavahana, that's the one I know.
Yeah, Svetavahana, white horses with white horses. So he tells them all the names. And some of them I just can't remember. So he tells them all the names. He said, oh, wow, you're Arjuna. So then he calls, and Hanuman comes down and jumps on top of the chariot. Because Hanuman is supposed to always be with Arjuna to help him. So Hanuman gets up there. Then Arjuna, he says all the mantras for his mantra weapons. Mm-hmm. And they all come forth. I think it's kind of interesting because Tuesday is a very special day, actually, which is a day called Akshay Tritiya, which is very auspicious. Now, some people say that Arjuna fought this battle on Makar Sankranti, and some people say that he fought this battle on Akshay Tritiya. And I just think it's funny that next Tuesday is Akshay Tritiya, and lo and behold, I'm telling this story. It's just kind of funny. Akshay Tritiya is, Akshay means unconquerable. And apparently, they say if you do anything, if you start any engagement, like start a business, start a marriage, start any kind of plan or any kind of long-lasting thing on that day, They say it can never be destroyed.
So which day is this?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
It's called Akshay Tritiya. Akshay means unconquerable. So Akshay Tritiya is the whole day. If you do something on that day that's long-lasting, they say it can never be brought under. It's a good day to do things. Like whatever. Businesses or anything. Anything. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, whatever. Anything is strong, made strong on that day. I bet you the evildoers know about that too. But it's just an all-in-all good day. So that is next. Some people say Arjuna fought this very battle on that day. Some people say it was Makar Sankranti. You get different. Every village has a story, you know. But so Arjuna is there, and he had the bow, and so then he chanted all the mantras. He got his weapons, and he got onto his chariot, and he started heading off. And Hanuman, you know, he was up there on top of the chariot, and he's like, "Ooh, ooh!" And the roaring of Hanuman, it actually started to the boy. You know, he's doing the chariot. He fell down. Because he's scared, and Arjuna said, "Come on, you're born in a Kshatriya family, you have to, you know, do, play the part. That's it, play the part." So, Arjuna, you know, Bhumijaya got up again, and then Arjuna, they went to the place, and then the Kuru saw it was Arjuna, you know, because they could hear Arjuna came and he blew on the Devadatta. And all the clouds, they became afraid from the noise, and they scattered, and the sky was clear. And then all of a sudden the sky got filled again, because it was filled with Vimanas, and all the Devas came to see the fight. And Indra was there in his chariot, and they said he looked at Arjuna with all his eyes, and he didn't blink. Because he didn't want to miss a single bit. And it was all the Devas was there, and even some other people, like sages and kings like Yayati and other people. They were still alive, who were still in Swargar and some other capacity. Said Prithu was there. He was a long time ago. And they have this whole laundry list of great personalities. I guess maybe laundry list isn't the right word, but they had this, you know.
A-list.
A-list. A-list. A-list, yeah. They had this A-list of you know, great personalities, Narada Muni, et cetera, included to want to see the fight. I guess it must have been some fight. Well, as you know, I think Krishna empowered Arjuna to win that fight. Because when later on Arjuna's talking to Yudhisthira, and he said, "I couldn't have done that without Krishna." So I guess it must have been something to see. So, you know, there's the whole Kuru. So Arjuna, he got his bow and he drew it back and he shot two arrows. And one arrow, they both landed in front of the chariots of Bhishma and Drona. And that was his way of paying obeisance. And then he shot two more arrows, and they both went by the feathers of the arrows touched their ears. And that was his way of challenging. So that was the start of the fight. So they got scared, you know. And all the generals and Duryodhan and they got together, and they were trying to make a plan, you know. What are we going to do about this Arjuna? So Drona started glorifying Arjuna very much and saying how powerful he was. And he said, you know, he's been to Swarga and he's gotten weapons from Indra. And we've all been sitting in our palace enjoying our senses and living high on the hog, so to speak, you know, eating nice food. They've been living tough. They've been eating, you know, living, you know, living. They've been doing severe austerities. They're hard and strong. It doesn't make you weak. Because Duryodhana said, oh, they're weak. He said, and Dronacharya said, no, tapasya doesn't make you weak. It makes you stronger. As we, you know, you got to work out and then you get stronger, you know. So he said, it makes you stronger. He said, Arjuna is 10 times as strong as when we last seen him. So then, you know, then Karna, he said, Dronacharya, he said, you're just praising them. He said, we'll, then Karna, he started to actually badmouth Dronacharya. Karna, you know, he was his guru was Parashuram. That guy was tough. Parashuram got all his weapons. He's an interesting character. In the Brahmanda Purana, they have over 40 chapters dedicated just to Parashuram's Leela, which is quite a few. It's several hundred pages of stuff, you know. So he's got, he was an amazing personality, Parashuram. So, Karna, he's talking to Drona. He's talking him down. And then Ashwatthama, who's very ill-tempered and expert in black magic and all things weird, he came over to Karna and he said, by what strength of arms of yours has the Kuru's, has Indraprastha been conquered? He said, you boast that you're such a hero, but what have you ever fought the Pandavas in battle and beaten them? He said, you just sit around. He said, you just rely on Shakuni to conquer the Pandavas. He said, have Shakuni go over there and throw his dice at Arjuna and see what it will accomplish. He said, he comes now with a Gandiva. He said, his Gandiva doesn't shoot dice, it shoots blood-drinking arrows. So then they
He also brought up the time when Karna ran from just
Karna was a cry, you know. Karna ran. He ran. The Gandharvas came and he ran away. So, you know, Karna, who's Karna? He was tough, but Ashwatthama just kind of had to point out, you know. And then, anyway, Bhishma managed to calm everybody down. So they put Kripa in the front, and then Karna was in the middle. They put Duryodhana in the back. I mean, he was supposed to steal the cows away. And Duryodhana and all his brothers were just going to be with the cows, and they put Kripa in the front because he was a madman. He was just, they put him right in the front. Because Kripa was tough. He was like pure wildness. Kripacharya. I read him. He just, one time he was fighting, they knocked the bow out of his hand, he picked up a sword. They knocked the sword out of his hand, he'd pick up something else, and finally he just had his bare hands and he's running after Kripacharya. He was, you know, never say die. So they put him in the front. And they put Ashwatthama somewhere in there. I think he was on the right. And Karna was in the middle, and they put Drona on the left. And so they made a little formation there. And Arjuna come forward and went to fight with Kripa, and he got his bow and arrow, you know. And Kripa came and he knocked off his horses. And then he broke Kripa's bow, and then he shot all these arrows at Kripacharya, and he knocked his armor off, and Kripacharya grabbed a club and he threw it at Arjuna, and Arjuna cut it in half. And then finally, you know, he broke all Kripacharya's weapons, and then he just, because the horses were gone, so he just bypassed him. And then he was fighting with other soldiers, and Karna came, you know, and Karna grabbed a bow and Arjuna break it. And then the less time it takes to blink your eye, Karna grabbed and strung another bow and had his arrow drawn. And then Arjuna broke that. And then, Karna grabbed another one and he fired Arjuna and he hit Arjuna in the forehead, actually. And the blood had started to pour down into his eyes. But then he's shooting arrows back and he knocked out Karna. And then he went around Karna and he was getting deeper into the formation. But they started running at him, you know. And all the meanwhile, while they're fighting with him, the Kripacharya, you know, Duryodhana and all the cows, they're running away. So he gets frustrated. So he chants some mantras and he shoots the bow and he makes everybody on the whole battlefield fall asleep. So everybody's sleeping. So he tells Bhuman Jaya, he says, you need to, you know. He said, there's one thing I forgot to say, which is that he promised Princess Uttara that all the Kshatriyas, they would go out and they would wear, they would have a scarf that they would wear. They would, all the Kshatriyas, they'd wear a nice fancy silk scarf that was embroidered with gems. So Uttara, she said, I want them, some of those scarves, so I can put nice clothes on my dollies. So then he's
on,
like...
On her what, dolls?
On her dolls. Yeah, she had dolls, and she wanted to have them nice wardrobes. She must have been pretty young, I guess. So she said, I want some nice, they had nice fancy scarves. So Arjuna promised that he would bring those scarves. So it's kind of like a war memento too, I guess. So I guess it's kind of like a grisly present to ask for in a sense, but she's a Chhatrani. All my dolls are dressed in scarves from dead warriors. Anyway, so everyone was asleep, so he went and he took the, Bhuman Jaya went and took the scarves. And he said, don't go to Bhishma because he can't actually be defeated.
Because he knows the mantra to
counteract the sleep. Yeah, he's not asleep. So then he left and they brought back the stuff and so Virat, he came back to his palace and he heard that Bhuman Jaya went out to fight the Kurus and he was scared. And then he heard that he was coming back victorious and he was so happy. And there's a whole story where he's playing dice with Yudhisthira and then Yudhisthira says, well, as long as Brihadnala was there, then no worries. And he says, what do you mean? Is this the eunuch? You saying that a eunuch makes a difference? He says, yeah, well, as long as Brihad... He says, how dare you compare my son to a eunuch? So he gets the dice that they're playing with and he throws them at Virat and knocks him right in the... throws him at Yudhisthira and knocks him right in the face. And then they have to stop the blood from hitting the ground. But then, you know, so Arjuna made him say that it wasn't him. So they're waiting... Some time passes, and then the Pandavas come back to... They reveal themselves to Virat.
I was thinking it was the very next day, but there may have
been. They said
time.
It was a few days. It wasn't the next day. I think it would have been too drastic, considering he just threw the dice at him. It's kind of offensive. So they let it boil down just a few days. Then they reveal themselves. And Virat was surprised. He says, you're the cook and you're the cowherd. What are you doing? They were dressed as kings. Because only kings can wear red and blue as the kingly colors. That's why devotees really shouldn't wear red or blue and go in front of the deities. Because deity is, it's like a king. And you don't, when you go to visit a king, you're supposed to not try and look better than the king. You're supposed to be subordinate to the king. The king's supposed to be in the highest position. So the Kshatriya, there's the royal purple, but that was the Caesars. They would wear purple. Only the king. So in Vedic culture, the kingly colors are red and blue.
So, purple is right in between red.
Yeah,
and blue.
It is. Purple is in between red and blue. So they were dressed in kingly clothing, and Virat was surprised. He says, "You're the cook, and you're the, you know, you." You're the cowherd. What are you doing dressed like this? You know, you're my Brahmin and, you know, you're the, you know, the dance instructor. So then he says, no, we're actually, I'm Yudhisthira and this is our Bhima and Arjuna. And so Virat actually, he pays obeisances to them and he says, I'm so sorry and I didn't know. Please forgive me. And they said, no, we were happy. You know, we got to hide at your place. And so we reveal ourselves now and so then, when the Pandavas reveal themselves, so then Virat, he says, oh, you know, Arjuna, you should marry my daughter. So Arjuna said, well, I was her guru, you know, and I can't, I'm like her father. She's like my daughter. So you should make her be my daughter-in-law. So I have one young son named Abhimanyu, and he's 16. So he should marry her. Now, Abhimanyu actually had another wife already at this point as well. Yeah, Abhimanyu had two wives. That's a whole other story. His brother, his cousin, Gadotkach helped him get the other one. That's a whole other story in itself.
Abhimanyu must have been in Hastinapura.
Abhimanyu was in Dwarka with Subhadra. Oh, Dwarka. They got some harsh treatment there because Arjuna, because the Pandavas were in exile, and they got some harsh treatment. So Abhimanyu kind of stomped out, actually. And he was wandering in the forest, and then he met Gadotkach, and that's a whole other story. But Gadotkach went and stole the princess and brought it to...
I never heard that one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
So this happened before Bharat. This happened while...
Yeah, it happened before, just before. While they were in exile, it was just before. So Abhimanyu went there, and so also Krishna and Balaram and Satyaki and all the Yadavas and then the Pandavas invited guests. You know, you have a marriage, you can have a lot of people come. So they had all the Pandavas family, Dristadrumna, Drupada, Virat was there, and they all kind of got together. They started talking. After the marriage was done, all the people went into this like assembly room, and they started to talk. And so Krishna said, what should we do? The Pandavas' time of exile is up. So they should get their kingdom back. What should we do? And
was this at Virat's residence?
This was at Virat's residence. It was just after the marriage. Okay. The marriage had maybe just been done, and they had a nice big feast, and everybody decided they just get together and start talk. So Krishna said, "Well, let's go to this room and talk business." So there was Balaram in there and Satyaki and some other Yadava personalities, and then there was Drupada and Dristajumna, and there was I don't think there was any women there, and there was the Pandavas and those people were in there. So they were starting talking. Krishna said, "Well, no, the Pandavas, the time of their exile is up," and they duly followed it. So we should, they need their kingdom back. What should we do? So they decided that, so Balaram said, "We should go very humbly and meekly and mildly to the Duryodhan." And he said, Duryodhan, Yudhisthira played at the game of dice and he lost. He said, "We should beg from them to have the kingdom back." Satyaki immediately got up. He was angry. He didn't want to hear this. He got up. Balaram kind of liked Duryodhan.
Right.
And so he is suggesting that it was probably would have been more peaceful. But Satyaki got up and he said, "Even though two trees can be the same kind, some will bear fruit and some will not bear fruit." He said, "So in the same way, in some families there's heroes and in some families there's cowards, even though they're both in the same family." He said, "I don't know what to say this, Balaram, but your words are cowardly." "We must go to Duryodhan and demand our kingdom back." He said, "No, what's the need of a messenger?" He said, "I will go there myself and I will get that kingdom back." He said, "I will tell Duryodhan to give it back. And if he will not give it back, I will take his head." So then so he was talking heavy. Now Balaram got angry, but Krishna was like, "Just calm down." He's passionate. Satyaki was a very passionate person. He is actually a disciple of Arjuna. Arjuna had taught him the weapons. So he had a soft spot for both Drona and Arjuna. So Then, you know, they start talking, and then Drupada said, I think we should get a Brahmin and ask him to go and talk. So then they started talking more politics, and Krishna said, you know, we can't really get too involved because we're equally disposed to both the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And if you want to continue on these talks, then we have to go. So then Krishna left with the Yadavas, and then the Drupada, he was supporting. He wanted to fight with the Kurus. I mean, he's kind of been planning this thing the whole time, really. That's why he got Arjuna as a son-in-law. When he was their big supporter, and the Panchalas had a big, huge army. Of the army that was brought by the Pandavas, seven divisions, two of them come from Drupada. So then the Pandavas said, well, you know, they started gathering armies. So people started picking which side that they were going to fight for. So there was one king, his name was Shalya. He was very strong, actually. He was one of the people that Duryodhan mentioned who could have killed Kichaka. So he said, he must have been, you know, he's like made of steel springs and whalebone, you know. He's tough. So he had one huge army. And when that army marched, it was several miles across. It looked like an ocean of steel. So this whole army he brought with him. And he was going to give it tribute to Yudhisthira. So Duryodhan, he wanted a big army. So Duryodhan, he made one nice place. It was an enjoyment park. Because, you know, you're traveling in the hot sun, and then all of a sudden, there's all these tents. And these beautiful women came out, and they with food and drinks, and they said, come, 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 be happy, come enjoy with us. So he went to this place, and then there was nice fountains and all kinds of places to chill out, and they were sitting there, and they were happy. And Shalya said, wow, you know, whoever has brought this nice thing to me, I shall give them benediction. So I will give them whatever they want. So then, you know, the curtain moves over and Duryodhan steps out. And Shalya's like, ah! So then Duryodhan says, I want your army when it's time for the battle comes. So he's like, okay.
Shalya thought it was Yudhisthira, right?
Well, he thought Yudhisthira must have done this.
Yeah.
So then Shalya kept on going. And he went to Yudhisthira's place, and he explained. He put the soldiers went to Hastinapur to stay. He went personally to Yudhisthira, and he explained that he'd been beguiled. And he said, sorry. And then he said, I will tell you one story, and the hero of this story shall have victory. So this is one good story, actually. I will tell you, and I hope you get victory if you hear it. So he told us, he said there was one, after Indra had killed Vritra, Vritrasura.
Oh, okay.
After Indra killed Vritrasura, he told the story of Vritra, how Indra killed Vritra. Sin personified chased him. So he had to hide someplace. So he hid in the lotus. So while he was gone, all heaven had no ruler. So the gods looked around, who will fill his position? Yeah, so they said, who is the most righteous person? They said, Nahusha. He should sit as king. Now, Nahusha, I believe, was the father of Yayati.
Right.
So, Nahusha, this is from the Chandra dynasty. I mean, he was only a few generations removed from the planet Mercury. His Buddha was the father of Purarava. And Buddha is the planet Mercury. So, Bud. So, I mean, you know, that's a deva. And the father of Bud is Chandra. So, I mean, that's just a few generations removed from, you know, demigod. So he's you know, keeping it in the family. Keep it in the family. So they got Nahusha. So Nehusha came in there, and he became king. But there was a problem, you know. He said, how can I be a king of gods if I'm not God? I'm not a god. So you give me some power. So the gods, they all gave him some part of their power, and he actually became really super powerful. So he's in there, and, you know, this is an interesting moral to this story, because what happened was Nehusha, he got carried away by all the sense enjoyment in Swarga. And he started thinking that he actually was like Indra, but he was worse than Indra. Sometimes people will come up here and go la-di-da about how I'm so great and Indra is so bad, and they talk so many bad things about Indra. Like, who are you really, though? I mean, you know, Indra has so much there, but he still maintains a certain level of dignity, let's say. He does seva for Krishna. Nehusha was just enjoying, and he just went overboard. And he would take the wives of all the other demigods like they were his own. But Sachi, she told him she could never have him. He said, but I am like Indra. So he started to chase Sachi around, actually. And Sachi, she felt very sad. So she would stay all the time with Brihaspati, because at least Nehusha would, you know, respect him. It's kind of almost like Kichaka he started becoming, you know. So Nehusha started chasing her around. So Sachi said, you know, Brihaspati, please help me. So Brihaspati said, you know, Agni can see everywhere there's light, whether fire or the sun. So Agni, you go search and find Indra and tell him to come back. So Agni went and looked, and it took some time. He said, I don't know where he is. Because he didn't. And then Brihaspati, being very wise, he thought for a minute. He said, did you look in the waters? Agni said, no, I'm scared of water. So then he said, look in the water. So then he came back, and then he looked in the lotus. And that's where he found the Indra. So they said, Indra is in with the lotus. So Sachi went there, and she explained the situation. And Indra was angry, but he said, now Nehusha has all the power, and I don't have any power. I can't fight with him. So we have to do something. So they started thinking, you know, what will we do? And Sachi said, I have one plan, and if that doesn't work, then you're trying to figure something. So Sachi, she went to Nehusha, and she said, every deva, they have some carrier. We have some, you know, Agni has a goat, and Kamadevi has a dolphin, and everyone has something they ride on. Some people ride on a lion, a monkey. Kuber rides on a man, because everybody, you know, everybody will, for wealth, they'll, but Kuber rides on a man. So she said, I will only be of you. You can find a carrier, but all the carriers are taken, so find one that no one has used. So Nehusha started thinking, and nobody had used Brahmins for their carrier.
A Brahmin?
Brahmins, yeah.
He should have known better.
Yeah. So that's her trick. She didn't specifically say use Brahmins, but that was the only one they hadn't used. Or that's what came to his mind. So he tied up all the rishi, all these Deva rishis to his chariot. And he had them, and he had a whip, and he was whipping them. Get him to drag his chariot. And they got, you know, they got a little angry. So Agastya started talking to him. And he said, why are you doing this? Why are you dragging us, making us drag you around? He said, oh, it's so I can take Sachi Devi. And they said, you're making a slave away for you just so you can steal another man's wife? So Nehusha said, you arrogant old man.
Talking to Beyonce, Dave?
Agastya.
Right.
You arrogant old man. And he spit on him. So, you know, Agastya you don't mess with. No. He drank the entire ocean. If somebody can do that, I don't know. That's not a good idea. So Agastya cursed him to become a serpent. And then, you know, he became, then he was gone. And then all of a sudden, all the Davids come with their swords. And, well, where'd he go? So Sachi's idea worked. They didn't have to get in a brawl. But Sachi, she tricked him, you know. So that was the story that Shalya told.
And later, that serpent swallowed.
Yeah, they met Bhima. He met Bhima. Bhima, it wrapped up Bhima, and then...
I was thinking that Nahusha became a serpent, and then he swallowed Nanda.
No, that was different. That's different. The serpent wrapped up Bhima.